Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Reed, Joe Satyar Shaw here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15. Served in 20 minutes or less. Only at Boston Pizza. What's happening, Sat?
You know, chilling.
Yeah.
Another beautiful spring day in Vancouver.
Trying to get away from, how should I put this nicely? Trying to get away from the clouds that are hanging over the Vancouver Canucks. Is that maybe a polite way of saying it?
I suppose. Are we still wallowing? Are we still in the wallow phase?
Is this your first time talking to me?
No, I'm just saying. I know you are, but I'm saying, like, in general.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the whole market. Like, is everyone still in wallow mode?
I think the day after is almost like more wallow, you know?
Yeah.
You're still digging into the tub of ice cream.
Mm. You wake up and you're like, oh, it's real.
It's real. Yeah. Is this going to be that type of show? Wallow? Are we going to wallow?
I would hope not, okay. You know?
I mean, do we try to move the conversation forward? Is that what I wonder
I think that's
about?
Kind of what we try to do here. You
wallow Wintrol.
Wallow
There is lots to get to. We got a big show planned for you. Shane O'Brien's going to join us. Obi, his take on Tocchet leaving. Kevin Woodley will join us as well, as he does every single Wednesday. And it's an overrated, underrated Wednesday here on Canucks Central. Let's get to the open.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And it is a no wallow Wednesday.
No wallowing today. It's hump day. We're trying to get over the hump on Wednesday.
How long can we go without getting into wallowing? Over, under? I want odds, because I don't think this is going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Can we get to 410 without wallowing?
That's tough.
You got six and a half minutes.
Six and a half. Over, under, six and a half minutes.
I'm going to throw one name out there that might get us into wallowing.
Oh, okay, what's that?
Quinn Hughes.
Ah.
I mean,
we don't have to wallow yet.
That's not what...
Has he returned Jim's phone call yet? Because that would be enough for me to start wallowing.
Man, it's so the best thing
we're going on 24 hours and there hasn't been a return call. That's a problem.
So the best thing about the organization is the thing that gives you the most dread when you hear about. Is that where we're at?
Can we just like watch YouTube highlights of how good Quinn Hughes is in perpetuity and just like try to block out the reality of the situation?
You can't take away his games played as a Canuck.
We will always have this.
They've always happened.
We will always have another Norris nomination.
Yeah, we have a lot of it in 4K too. So yes. I mean, it's going to be very crystal clear quality for eternity. What Quinn Hughes has done as a Canuck, right? So that's never going to change. But who's going to coach Quinn Hughes this season?
Not Rick Tocchet. Okay. I'm pretty confident saying that.
Okay,
right now.
You know what? I'm glad you started there, because let's start with the guys who will not be coaching the Vancouver Canucks. Because I think every time we go through this list, names come up. People are like, just hire Mike Sullivan. You know, and it's like it's not going to happen, right? And we've even talked about John Cooper if he becomes available. Yeah. And even today, you know, Brooksy, he reported out of New York that
Larry Brooks,
that if.
What are you, John Tortorella? Also won't be coaching the Vancouver Canucks.
Yes. Oh, yes. So Larry Brooks reported that if John Cooper becomes available, a landing spot could be Utah, because he's very close with Ryan Smith, the owner of the Utah Hockey Club, right?
Okay.
So I'm just saying, just to make sure the facts are out there when people bring up John Cooper. We brought up John Cooper. He's still coaching. They have a game tonight.
Yes.
The Tampa Bay Lightning. So
you're telling me a good BC boy would turn away the chance at coaching his home province team for the Utah Mammoth?
The guy who won the Jack Adams here.
Oh,
a year
we did
ago.
Not get to 410, Chad. We did not get to 410. We didn't even get to 406.
No, we crushed the under. No,
okay.
I mean
the guy who
won the Jack Adams was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
So he's from BC. I get it. You know what I mean? So like, is he going to look at it as like, oh, I can't wait to coach Vancouver?
I don't think look, legitimately, none of the top candidates are going to be like, yeah, that's a great situation for me to walk into.
Okay, but you know, just to continue the conversation, at the very least, we put pause on John Cooper, because yeah. I know his name comes up. So let's forget about Cooper for now.
Also, I have my doubts that the Canucks are going to offer $5.5-6 million for a coach.
Yeah, no, not happening.
Which is what John Cooper and Mike Sullivan are going to get.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument for, is it worth it to do it for John Cooper if you know right. what I mean? Like, I could see him being the exception, because there's always an exception, even if you're an organization that hasn't always, you know, spent the max on coaches. And it's clear that they were...
He's the Team Canada head coach. It's kind of like when the Leafs hired Mike Babcock, he's got that kind of status right now.
Exactly, right? It's like, hey, how do you turn down the opportunity? Like, and especially with how good he is with the media and how good he is as somebody that you can have around the corporate world too. He's a guy that you can make money off of if you bring in. He's that type of brand. You know what I mean? So I think he's in a different stratosphere. But again, let's put pause on him at the very least. Rutherford yesterday said Mike Sullivan wants to stay out east. So Mike Sullivan's not coming to Vancouver.
Yeah. So you could take Mike Sullivan off the list. Very, very, very unlikely for John Cooper. As Luke points out on the Dunbar Lumber text line, anyone born in BC would know better.
they might know a thing or two, right?
So I guess we're still wallowing on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Thanks for that, guys. Thanks for changing the conversation.
Okay, I'm trying.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
I'll calm down.
Okay, just I'm trying to move it forward.
Too much Spros.
Always a good idea.
Yeah.
For you. That's what you need more of, Spros. Okay, David Carl, another guy, probably not coming, right? He's a Denver coach, very much sought after. A few teams after him this summer, he kind of said, yeah, I'm going to stay in Denver. You can cross him off the list, too. So that's three guys you can cross off the list for the time being.
Peter Laviolette? I know Murph on the Fan Hockey Show today essentially said probably not.
Yeah, so. I would agree, probably not. But I don't think you can dismiss him because Rutherford...
It's a low percentage chance.
Yes, exactly. He's in the long shot.
Yeah.
You know, category.
So who are we left with?
All right. Now it becomes, you know, whether you find it interesting or not, it becomes a bit murkier, right? Because you have a list of coaches like, say, a Jay Woodcroft, who's had experience, but at the same time, you saw his flaws too. And
So with somebody like Woodcroft, because I tend to hope for the best in people.
Mm.
You know, he had a pretty ugly end to his time in Edmonton, where it was clear he lost the buy-in of the team. But, you know, and I know he's been on the media tour a little bit and telling people how he's working on himself and self-development as he's waiting his next opportunity. But, like, first time big job, got to coach Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, coached in some big games with that team, and has now had a chance to, like, learn from his first opportunity.
Yeah.
Look at how well Travis Green is doing in Ottawa. Learned from his first opportunity in Vancouver, had a little bit of time off to wait for his next chance, and is better from it. I think, you know, there are some similarities there that I'm not completely opposed to the Jay Woodcroft option, should that be something the Canucks look into.
To that point, I mean, Bruce Cassidy is a guy who had a brief tenure as a head coach with the Capitals in the early 2000s, then had to wait, when was it, like 13, 14 years for his next opportunity?
Yeah.
And now he's viewed as one of the better coaches in the National Hockey League, right? So I'm not against giving people another chance, and I think you learn. And just like players, I think you learn. Experience does matter. So he's a name who's at the very least in consideration, you would imagine.
Yeah.
Right? From an experience standpoint. Let's run through a couple other guys that have experienced. Jeremy Colleton.
Has worked for this organization, has worked for Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin, has had a chance at a head coaching job. They never said anything bad about Jeremy Colleton. He was clearly just looking for an NHL opportunity when he chose to leave the Abbotsford Canucks. So, you know, I think what I... When I'm going through this process of elimination, like, what is it that this organization, this front office, is looking for most in a head coach from a, like, playing style point of view? And ultimately, they still want a coach that's going to be based in structure. And I feel like Colleton wants to be that guy, and he understands that, given that he was a hire of this group in the past.
Yeah, I think he would fit at least the mold to some degree, right? And a guy that obviously has experience too. Dominic Ducharme is the other guy. Mm-hmm. He used to coach the Montreal Canadiens. He has some experience and went to the Cup final. It was a bubble playoffs, but nonetheless, didn't end well, but usually it doesn't end well for coaches.
Nope.
So I think he's another guy. But is there anybody else that you think from an experience standpoint that stands out that we haven't mentioned so far?
From an experience standpoint,
I don't think Alain Vigneault.
Yeah, I don't think they go with the big retread like a Gerard Gallant or something
like
that.
No, I don't think
like
that And Mike Babcock, his name comes up, and old Nick and Delta is asking. Like,
yeah,
even him,
that's not happening after what happened in Toronto and then what subsequently happened. Like he didn't even end up coaching a game for the Columbus Blue Jackets before he got ousted there. So
well, and he's a guy that would be a big risk, but I mean it's too risky.
Yeah. I think experience is probably something that they want, but it doesn't have. It's not a prerequisite for what they're looking for in the job. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
Like they want some level of experience, but. You know, you don't have to have years of or multiple head coaching opportunities in the past to be in consideration to be the next head coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
No, and I mean, there's a guy like Dave Hakstol who's had a couple chances,
yeah,
but neither worked out great. Like, do you want to give him the third chance?
Yeah, coach just down the I-5, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd almost prefer to look down the AHL route, and a couple of names that have come up today. Mike Vellucci's name was brought up on the Fan Hockey Show with Elliot Friedman, has prior experience again with this front office when he was coaching Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and he's been in Pittsburgh for quite a while. Todd Nelson has had a ton of success in the AHL, has won multiple Calder Cups. So, you know, those are, I think, you know, you look at the success of guys like Spencer Carberry and other guys that have come up from the AHL after years of experience and getting that NHL opportunity finally. I wonder if, you know, that's something that they are looking at for this next opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that can make some sense as far as you look at the guys that are available. And we just went through all the guys that are not realistic, and then the other guys who have experience who are available. We didn't mention Quenneville, but we went through this yesterday to some degree. It doesn't look like that's going to happen in Vancouver either, from either party's side, right? So I don't think that's something that you're going to see in Vancouver either. So when you get through that list, you're looking at the guys you've mentioned who, like a guy like Nelson, has a really long, successful track record. He's in his 50s, mid-50s as a head coach, very experienced as a coach, right?
One opportunity head coaching was with the Oilers in 2014-15.
Yeah.
And it was interim type thing.
It wasn't a real opportunity to coach the team, but he was technically a head coach, but he wasn't like, hey, here's the keys to the car, go and drive it, right? Like he hasn't had that opportunity yet. So you don't know how it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Edmonton looked at it, weren't convinced. Nobody else has been convinced. So there's some risk involved in it, right? You go through the other guys, Vellucci. Now, Vellucci, I think there's the obvious tie to Rutherford and Pittsburgh because of their tenure together with the Pittsburgh organization. But if we're talking about connections and ties, doesn't Manny Malhotra all of a sudden have connections and ties having coached the Abbotsford Canucks for a year? Now, maybe the experience isn't as long, but if you start going through the process and you look at all these guys, they're all inexperienced at the National Hockey League level as an NHL head coach goes. Like who do you think is undoubtedly better than the other? Like, I don't know the answer to that. And if you don't know the answer to that, isn't maybe the best chance or the best option the one that's in your backyard, the one who knows your organization, the one who's had success with your guys that you can hopefully transfer over? And if you're looking at a longer-term approach of Quinn has to go, can Manny see through that? Because he's been here with the younger players. Like, I think it could make sense on a lot of levels if they feel like Manny's actually ready.
Is it too soon, though?
It might be. Like, I don't think
he's had 1 year coaching in the AHL.
It's right.
It's been a really good year. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's been a really great year.
Yeah, but we've seen that also not necessarily be a hindrance to other guys.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I think it comes down to what your staff looks like, too. Right, I know Drance mentioned if they go with a guy like Manny, they'd have an experienced staff, and that's technically what happens, right?
Yeah,
what happens in situations when you have inexperienced head coaches, and that's kind of what I heard too, talking to people with the team, and I was like, okay, because I had asked. Here's the thing, like I don't think this organization had seriously considered somebody other than Rick Tocchet coaching this team this upcoming season and beyond.
Yeah,
like, they hadn't seriously considered that up until yesterday, when the news came down, right? So when I had asked in the past, just doing due diligence on, okay, if you guys aren't bringing this guy back, like what are you looking at? And obviously not going to give you an answer, but I asked, like, would you go with the guy who's inexperienced? And generally it's kind of was like, I'm not quite sure, because does that make sense? It might be too risky given the situation with Quinn, where you're trying to go as a team, to go with an inexperienced guy. But when you actually sit down and go through the list, you may view it a bit differently. And I wonder if the Canucks have done that and are doing that. And if you go through the process, just like we're doing here, you look at Manny, you're like, if I'm taking a risk, maybe the best one to take is the one who has some internal upside as well.
Well, and Manny's not, look, not to say that guys aren't going to respect the next head coach, but like, Tocchet demanded a certain respect from players. Maybe not demanded, but like, just his presence commanded a certain level
commanded, I think, was a good way of describing
commanded
it.
Commanded a different kind of respect because of his career playing, how he was a hard skill player, over 1,000 games, 400 goals, like a fringe kind of Hall of Fame guy who was extremely well-respected across the board. And while Manny doesn't have like necessarily the same level of, you know, credentials as a player, he was a really good bottom six player who took the game seriously, played it the right way, and has gone through the process of learning how to coach and going through the ranks of coaching the right way. And I think that goes a long way with players. And I just kind of wonder, like, are you going to have a little bit of that void to fill with Tocchet going out the door now? Because he was just such a well-liked guy from most of the Canucks, and just how he commanded respect from the players.
You're right, but I will say this, and we spoke to Yannick about this, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, again, like, I think when you look at head coaches in general and making coaching changes, I think it's fine to make coaching changes. I think we overrate sometimes what coaches can and can't do.
Fair.
I think the situation, and Yannick spoke about this last week when we asked him about, you know, Tocchet and somebody else, and he's like, honestly, guys, it doesn't really matter. As long as the guy's competent, that's all that matters. Like, I think it comes down to the players. I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. I think the situation with Tocchet is more about Quinn Hughes and the whole effort to keep Quinn Hughes long-term and trying to keep the guy that Quinn Hughes really wanted them to keep.
Yeah.
I think that became part of the equation with, obviously, with Rick Tocchet. The other part of it just becomes the fact that as a team, you have so many holes and you have so many problems with your squad. So like, if you were sitting here and trying to say Rick Tocchet is the right guy or not, like, I don't think he's the issue, but it makes sense for you to keep him. And the fact that he doesn't want to stay, I think it says more about your situation as a whole.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes the Tocchet thing so jarring. The fact that he's not coaching here, that doesn't matter as far as whether he's a coach or not. It's more about what it says.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing here. So I think we might be
over. We are your home.
We are your home for the Vancouver Canucks, and we're hoping that home is going to be a lot better next season. But I think that's what it ultimately comes down to more than anything else is, are you able to get somebody in here who's competent enough, but can that person have success?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's going to keep Quinn Hughes here, potentially, maybe, if you have like a 5% chance of that happening or not, right? But, you know, that's ultimately the big thing to me. It's just...
Yeah, less so about Tocchet's gone and more about, okay, what's the best situation we can put our next guy in to give us the best chance of keeping Quinn Hughes?
Yeah, I'm not as scared of the coaching hunt.
Yeah.
I'm sure they can find somebody who can be decent.
Yeah.
It's more about are you going to be good enough anyways? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, does it matter in the big picture?
One name I'm kind of curious that hasn't been talked about much is Alex Burrows, who's an assistant with Montreal, has been an assistant for quite a few years now and has been pretty well regarded. Their power play has been really good with Burrows as one of the assistants there in Montreal. So there's going to be a lot of names. We'll continue to see how this pans out, but the Canucks still very much in the early stages of their process. All right, let's get to the Playoff Central Roundup, Canuck Central Roundup, and Connor Garland happens to be the first Canuck to speak on Rick Tocchet's departure. Obviously has a long history with Rick Tocchet. He was on the NHL Network today, and here's what he had to say about Rick Tocchet departing Vancouver.
So just want to ask you what it was like having Tak as a coach, what this kind of means for you guys moving forward.
Yeah, well, I'm in a unique situation. I had Rick as a rookie in Arizona, and then had missed him for a year. And then he came back and joined me in Vancouver again at a different stage in my life and career. And I was very fortunate to have him. And I was a young player. I really didn't understand the details of the game and what it took to win. And, I was more just relying on scoring and producing points. And he taught me the other side of the game and really, filled out the rest of my game. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And as I've gotten older and had a family and a kid, it's weird to say as a coach, I kind of look at him as like another father figure and, kind of a friend to me. When stuff happened in my personal life, he's one of the people you can lean on. And any team that gets him is going to be very lucky. A lot of those guys, whether he wins 10 more Jack Adams or doesn't win another game, those guys will play, go through a wall for him. He's that type of coach. And, any team will be lucky to have him.
There is Connor Garland and essentially calls Rick Tak a secondary father figure to him. And you just kind of see how much Rick Tak meant to some of the players on this group.
Yeah, and especially a guy like Garland, who loved them in Arizona, loved them in Vancouver. They have a special relationship, obviously. So he saw his dad leave. His dad's like, I'm going to let you figure this out on your own.
Yeah. So Garland has a long time been a player for Rick Tak, and maybe now he is maybe even more on the trade block than before.
See where Tak goes. He's going to join him at TNT.
Yeah, potentially. Like, be a Tak guy.
That's what you hear from Connor Garland, who was on NHL Network earlier today. Lots to get into as far as the playoffs go. Shane O'Brien is going to join us. Senators forced game six. The Leafs' top players stink in clinching games. It is awful. It's crazy.
They haven't scored a power play goal in over 30 chances
since like 2018 in series clinching games.
It's unreal.
0-30 in series clinching games.
And it's with this core.
They're 1-13 in series clinching games with the core four, that they call it out there in Toronto. Auston Matthews, captain of the Leafs, was dog bleep yesterday. And, it's going to be interesting because they lose game six in Ottawa. Oh boy, squeaky bum time going back to Toronto for game seven after blowing a 3-0 series lead. Oilers took a 3-2 series lead over the Kings last night, and they were by far the better team. Darcy Kemper really kept the LA Kings in that game. Maybe the Kings are licking their wounds, knowing that they allowed the Oilers to stick around long enough for them to find their game, and it just looked like there was one team on the ice last night. It was crazy.
And I don't even know how they got some goals, honestly. Like, Kemper was great. If it wasn't for Kemper, that game would have been out of hand. But it was great to see Kuzmenko score.
Another goal for Kuzmenko. He's just lighting it up on the power play for the LA Kings. Lots to get into. Shane O'Brien will join us, his take on the playoffs, and obviously Rick Tockett's departure from the Vancouver Canucks as well. That's coming up on Canuck Central.
Big opinions and good bets. It's the People Show with Bick Nizar. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.